Welcome to Agora, your space for international exchange and conversations on freedom and democracy. Hey there, this is Killian from Agora, and I'm going to be your host for this podcast. Today, my teammate Tina and I are going to have a look at Poland. Therefore, we had the pleasure to interview Mr. Radek Korzycki. He has been a journalist with experience in Polish media for 20 years. After starting his professional career in New York, he returned to his home country, Poland, where he continued his work for several major newspapers. He is especially concerned about the year-long decline of Polish media and the fundamental changes that party politics initiated after 2015. So in his occupation as a journalist, his special attention is drawn to issues such as freedom of speech, consolidation of democracy, and concentration of power. Radek, welcome to our podcast. Could you tell our listeners what the state of affairs in Poland is like today and what might be special in the Polish media landscape? You already mentioned communism, so there might be some historic differences, but how would you describe the situation today?
Today, well, it's a bit different than it was in 1989. I mean, the transition of media market in 1989, in my opinion, was rather swift, thanks to the help from the West, both European countries and United States. With their support, strong independent outlets were established, like Gazeta Wyborcza, and magazines like Politica went through a smooth transition to liberal democracy. There was a debate in the 90s that only center-to-left medias were, let's say, privileged to exist on this market. That's why some journalists, reporters, essays, feature story writers with more right-wing ideas were fulfilled with resentment. And that's why they try to establish their own outlets at the beginning of the current century, which at the very beginning was difficult because of the financial issues. And when Axel Springer started, it was a major shift in Poland when Axel Springer started to invest. In 2001, Axel was responsible for founding a Polish version of Newsweek, and they still have this title. And it was a rather right-wing swing back there 20 years ago. Then in next year, I believe, they established Fakt, which is a Polish version of one of the German tabloids. I don't remember the German title. It was a base for this new wave of right-wing journalists and reporters. This Fakt Bild is the German tabloid. So it's basically the same. And so journalists were working there, were, as I mentioned, rather ideologically involved in right-wing politics. And the editorial desk of Polish version of Bild was the origin of the newspaper that I mentioned that I worked with, that was called Dziennik. And it was a major competition for Gazeta Wyborcza back then in 2006-2007. And afterwards, after it bankrupt, the people from Dziennik went on to work or they opened their own newspapers, like Sieci, which translates into in the network, or rather in the net, like a spider's net. It's a fringe right-wing newspaper magazine. They have their website, of course, and they have their own minor television channel. And nowadays, they are very supportive for a Polish government. And all the people who left Dziennik or who worked in Dziennik are now rather supportive of not all, like me. I'm not, but I was very young then. The people who were in charge of Gen.Nik, they are rather involved either in outlets like the one I mentioned, which is Sieci, or public media, which is completely totally independent. I mean, it's publicly founded. So they depend on the current government, which has some, it's honest to say that some authoritarian ideas, or they are not exactly used to liberal democracy or liberal democratic environment. So we may assume that that's why they are so keen on sharing this information or sometimes creating a fake news agenda. On the other hand, still there is Gazeta Wyborcza. They have some skeletons in the closets. I mean, especially now when they are fighting for survival, they are also sometimes, well, but they are not cross this critical border of fake news or disinformation. I mean, they have their ideas. They are also politically engaged, but they are rather telling the truth. So coming back to your question, the situation in Poland is difficult. Maybe not as I wrote you, maybe not as difficult as it is in Hungary, because the majority of media outlets are dependent on Viktor Orban's government. In Poland, they are on their way to do it, and they trying by any means to succeed. And I can tell you some stories about this, and I can share a couple of details. First of all, as I said, they have a public television and public radio. Still, millions of citizens are watching TVP, which is Telewizja Polska, Polish television, a public outlet. When they started in 2015, they totally changed the agenda. They employed their people, and they are really not bothered with the truth, but with what the ruling party wants to say. On the other hand, people who work there, they are not only pragmatists and opportunists. I believe sometimes that they really believe in it. For example, I don't know now for what reason they are covering American issues in this amusing way. I mean, they are still really fond of Donald Trump, and they are really following his policy and his politics now when he's not a president anymore. And events like you know, this horrible Capitol siege on the 6th of January, they covered with a huge empathy towards Trump and these people back there. And in fact, it has nothing in common with the interest of the ruling party and the state in Poland. So I believe that they are just emotionally and ideologically devoted to them. And I can give you another example, because I watched the news, their news yesterday. It was about one of the, not the very first, but one of the latest Biden's executive orders about transgender people, to allow transgender people to compete in sports in whatever gender they feel. And the interpretation of Wiadomość, news program of Telewizja Polska, of public television in Poland, was really amazing, in particular because I was trying to understand it and to analyze it, because their agenda was that it's a privilege for weaker. This Biden's executive order helps weaker sportsmen, I mean male sportsmen, so they could compete, they could like cross-dress and compete with women, so they could be more successful. And it's dangerous for women because men are usually more aggressive. That's why women can suffer also physically. So you can imagine that there is the whole fairy tale around this, and the imagination of a man, male person who is aggressive. So they probably have this kind of habit of thinking that that men are aggressive because they, in their world, the majority of men are like that. So this is once, first of all, it's baseless, this kind of interpretation. The second thing is that it's a fake news. It's not what was this Biden's memorandum about. And third thing is it's really fulfilled with homophobia and gay panic. And anti-LGBT resentment is, in my opinion, the most important tool for Polish government and the medias that are fulfilling with their interest nowadays in Poland, because we don't have immigrants. We cannot blame the alien. That's why they have chosen homosexuals, because of course we do have homosexuals like every other society and every other nation. And homophobia became the major tool of propaganda in the last presidential election in Poland. In June, it really started with the heaviest arguments, sometimes or very often rather aggressive, that LGBT is that it's not group of people, but it's an ideology with links to international fringe leftist movement, that it's LGBT is basically communism in nowadays. So you know, when you repeat this information like 1,000 times, people are getting too used to it and to believe it. We have to wait a couple of years to check if it had an influence on the outcome of the election in 2020 in Poland. I can tell you that I was a part of this battle. In June, I wrote a story based on what I heard in Washington that American diplomacy, but I wouldn't say State Department, but in general, all the channels of American diplomacy, Congress, NGOs, think tanks that had some links to Polish government, they were trying to stop Prawo I Sprawiedliwość and our president. And there was a pressure on him not to affiliate with this fierce homophobia. And I wrote about that, and they reacted really angrily. It was before the election. Some people, what I can tell you on the record is that they were insulting me on Twitter. And there is one really funny thing in the background. Some right-wing trolls were accusing me of being a German agent because they Googled that I had a scholarship from Heinrich Böll Foundation, and I had it thrice. So for them, it was obvious that I'm creating a reality based on the German needs, which is another factor, because there is also a really strong anti-German resentment, both in the ruling party and in the media that are linked to the government. And afterwards, after the election, after Andrzej Duda scored a very narrow win, really narrow, the narrowest in the history of democratic elections in Poland, the U.S. ambassador in Poland, Georgette Mosbacher, confirmed every single sentence from my article about American diplomacy. She didn't mention that piece, and she neither mentioned my name. But all the ideas, the stance of American government and American State Department on LGBT issues, she confirmed. She used the phrase that Polish government is standing on the wrong side of the history then. And you have to remember that in governmental propaganda, America is the greatest ally of Poland. The problem with this is that during Trump administration, Poland became a Trojan horse for his anti-European actions. And his approach to destabilize North Atlantic Alliance as a major transatlantic democratic alliance. And there was a speculation that when he was trying to weaken Germany within the alliance, Poland was eager to take the troops potentially withdrawn from Germany. The ridiculousness of this idea has different levels. First of all, the propaganda of Polish right-wing media was attached to the idea like it's happening now. So they were repeating fake news that the majority of American troops in Germany will be reduced, against what members of Congress, of both Chamber of Congress, was saying back then in May and June, when Trump announced that he would like to, with the help of his great friend, Ambassador Richard Grenell, former ambassador to Germany, who was openly hostile towards some German politicians. The next level of this ridiculousness is that Americans were not eager to talk about an increase of Americans engaged in Poland until we could provide new facilities. And it was all about the money. We could not afford this. Still, pro-governmental outlets were saying that Americans already agree on enlarging their presence in Poland, which was not based on facts. And the next level of absurd was that, knowingly, I believe, this kind of media outlets in Poland were working on weakening NATO itself, either because of their hatred of the West, or because of very successful Machiavellian Russian influence. I'm not saying about a direct link, because I have no knowledge on this, if there is a kind of infiltration from Russia, but de facto they are helping with Kremlin agenda on destabilizing the Atlantic alliance. And I have to connect two dots, which is LGBT rights and American both technology and Polish-American friendship with military in the background, because also Americans connect these dots. They are not eager to help a flawed or upheaval liberal democracies that are not devoted to rule of law, or both rule of law and human rights. So Ambassador Mosbacher told in the interview after the elections, because probably Americans didn't want to engage in and interfere in the Polish election with the critique of the president before the election. But after he won and he was sworn in for his second term, Mosbacher was courageous enough to give this interview and to say that both on LGBT issues, Polish government is on the wrong side of the history, and that they should abandon this propaganda full of hatred, because otherwise American companies may be frightened about investing in Poland. And she put it straightforward, which is rather rare for American diplomats. So in my opinion, the situation was tense enough that she allowed herself to say it publicly. And then we didn't know who's going to win election in the US. So she was saying that on behalf of Donald Trump. And both Polish government and the supportive medias, both written and digital and television and radio, they didn't probably understand that what they do will not be well interpreted in US. There's one, it sounds like a comedy of errors, because Richard Grenell is gay and he has this strong anti-German prejudice. He could be helpful with all, we're of course talking about the past because there is no more Donald Trump and no more Grenell. But he is also strongly supportive towards LGBT issues all around the world. And he was influential on Donald Trump's, let's say, court, when there was a public quarrel about that and about him that I started. They were criticizing me on the record. saying that I'm overestimating his influence. And I don't know why they did it, because he was their partner back then. They were talking directly to him, and so they were underestimating him. It was the projection, I believe. And my idea is that because he's gay, I mean, that's their prejudice, that they couldn't imagine that a person with such an identity can be such a strong influential diplomat or politician, and also someone who is engaged in military or intelligence affairs. So it's even funny to that extent. So this is the general landscape.
I do have a question. If you say that basically all of public media is under control of the government, huge parts of public media is under government control and under the control of government propaganda, what is happening on the other side in the private sector? Is there hope on this side?
Always follow the money. So there are private news organizations who are really dependent on public company. The advertisement market is linked to these companies. So, of course, on papers they are private, but they are indulged with everything around government. Their attitude is sometimes really robust. And I can, yes, the first one is that I already mentioned, which is w sieci, in the net. It was established by twin brothers, Michał and Jacek Karnowski, and they own it. And they are, this is the most, well, they really act like public media in defending the government. Also with this strong anti-LGBT resentment, this is their major ideology nowadays. The next one is do rzeczy. It's tough to translate. It's rather idiomatic expression that has something in common with another title. Anyway, it's not that important. They are also founded by public companies, and also Gazeta Polska, which translates to Polish newspaper by Tomasz Sakiewicz. And the fourth part is an empire built by a Catholic monk in Toruń. His name is Tadeusz Rydzyk, and he built a huge empire. He has a newspaper that is called Nasz Dziennik, Our Daily, television Trwam, which translates to I'm still there, and radio. He started from radio, and it's called Radio Maria, which means Mary, Mother of God's radio. The money is rolling in, and we are talking about millions and millions of Polish złoty.
For advertisement.
In for advertisement, yes. And they are also, well, Polish public companies are buying ads in these papers. On the other hand, they are helping them with publicity and with marketing, like in some gas stations. Only papers from this segment are sold. So this is really a complicated mechanism, but working really good. And in the case of the fourth one, which is the empire founded by Father Tadeusz Rydzyk, the financing is even more direct, because he has a foundation, which is easier for the government to help him with his all business idea. And he had plenty of ideas. He also wanted his own airline. I don't know when he gave up, but there was also an idea of that kind. That they are also like working on covering up all the scandals in Catholic Church with child abuse.
Okay, so you've got huge challenges in Poland when it comes to media. How do the people deal with it? So we saw in media, even in other European countries, a lot of people going on the street as the abortion law was changed. So how do you deal with that challenges? How is your impression of the Polish people? How is the society reacting?
First of all, the verdict of Constitutional Tribunal on abortion law in October or November, I don't remember. It wasn't published back then. It's going to be published tonight. So you can expect a major flow, a huge demonstration starting even tonight, spontaneous ones. So you can follow what's happening and watch out on this. The demonstrations back then in autumn were really huge, but not a lot has happened since. I mean, the opposition is weak. Not all MPs of the opposition parties are supportive towards women's rights. That's another issue. Well, you know, I'm a little bit withdrawn and I'm moaning because it's really tough to call. I can quote opinion polls before that Open Society Foundation did on the moods of the society in the whole region, including Germany, I mean Eastern Europe. In 2019, Deutsche Welle published it. I remember because I remember a translated article from Deutsche Welle. 64% of Polish citizens are frightened about the fate of rule of law and human rights and the democracy in Poland. And it's a largest number in the whole region. In Germany, it's like 59 or something. And for example, in Hungary, it's 59. Hungarians are the next in line. And in Germany, it's approximately 49. This is the basic fact. I mean, the figures. You cannot compare it because probably Germans who are asked about the situations, they are worried about AfD and their influence when this party is not in government. And the public discourse in Germany is shifted. So we're not talking about basic human rights like in Poland with the abortion law, which is now, starting from today, fiercer, harsher than it is in Iran. So this is my answer. I cannot, but in case of a snap election, which is possible but improbable today, the ruling party can still win with 35%. And because of the divisions within the opposition, they could still have another 4 years. So it's not that we have this huge momentum that will end up with a, not a revolution, but with a kind of revolt that will provoke a snap election.
Looking at how society reacts to what's happening in the media and in politics, would you say that age is a very important factor? So younger people might not support things as they are going now as much as older people. Is there a tendency like this in Poland?
I would carefully answer yes, but it's completely opposite with what you said, because younger people, the huge reproductive force, and there is a huge gender gap, like 30%, approximately 25 to 30%. Very young men are outstandingly conservative. If you look at opinion polls after the most recent election, presidential election, you can see that older people, like 60 plus, senior citizens, they rather voted for the more liberal candidate in majority.
That's really surprising.
But yes, young people, especially young men, strongly support the government. Maybe something will change within the next few months because of abortion law and economic decline due to pandemic. We will see. As for now, the situation look like this, that if only straight men with no university degree under the age of 30 would vote the ruling party. I cannot estimate, but it's like 60 something. It's more than 60% of support.
What do you think must happen to make the situation better in Poland?
Financing democratic institutions, non-governmental organizations from the West. I mean, from both European Union and America, I believe, because this is a common interest and goal in Europe to keep it, you know, all together. Because as much as we need European Union, Europe also needs us. Yes, that's my answer. Improvement of NGOs in Poland, pro-democratic, pro-human rights and rule of law organization.
I would like to quickly come back to something you said earlier. You said that in the Polish government propaganda, there is a lot of resentment against Germany.
Yes.
How does this fit in the picture with, for example, Axel Springer investing in the Polish market? Are they financing against their own interest in some way?
There are a couple of things. First of all, people. It's funny because it's. I believe it's something psychological. It's something that it's something to work on therapy for majority of these guys, because when Axel 20 years ago, when the German company started to establish right wing focused media, these guys were like in power. Yes, that they had money, and then when in 2009 Axel sold Dziennik, it was another impulse to feed their resentment. So of course they were financed by a German company, and they did whatever the German company wanted. And sometimes the managers who came from Frankfurt, yes, is the headquarters of Axel is, I don't remember, where is it?
Berlin, I think, also in Frankfurt.
So whenever managers from the headquarters came to Poland, they were able to influence them. And then when they got rid of these fringe guys, they are more and more, they feel harmed by them. And now Axel has Newsweek, and the people who are editors there, they are on the side of the liberal opposition, which doesn't mean that they are not conservative, but they are against the Law and Justice Party. So now it's really easy, and people have really, really short memory. So now it's very easy for them to criticize it. And on the surface, it's because, yes, they have this lousy magazine Newsweek that has this German strings attached and so on. So it's easy to have a conversation like this, especially for people with restricted analytical intellectual abilities. And something what I mentioned, what is beneath the surface is their feeling of being harmed, which is rather a therapeutical issue. Because before 2015, there was no such a thing like prejudice against Germans and German government. Well, might be in 2006, it started when Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung called Jarosław Kaczyński and his late brother potato. There was a quarrel, but it was rather symmetrical, and it was not such a political issue back then. Now it is a major force of ideological battle, Germany and the West.
So yeah. It really backfired in this case.
Correct.
Okay, so coming slowly to an end. First of all, thank you, Radoslav. My last question is there anything in Poland and Polish media you would suggest, yeah, that is a good practice, that is something we doing good?
I believe there are plenty of things like that. There are plenty of honest journalists. There are plenty of investigative journalists who are either investigating the irregularities. Nowadays, you cannot overthrow a government with this if they have their own media. And there are plenty of skillful journalists who can fact check what government says. But in, you know, in the universe and times of Steve Bannon, it's really tough to change the reality.
All right. I would like to thank you for taking the time and joining us today. And maybe we'll be back. It would be a pleasure. And maybe we're going to see each other in person someday. Who knows?
Once again, thank you very, very much. And let's cross the fingers for democracy and rule of law in Poland. Women's yes. rights, especially tonight, because it's a horrible day for them in Poland tonight. Thank you very, very much. Bye.
Thank you very much. Dziękuję.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.